Welcome to episode 5 of the World Hoppers podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping out new readers navigate Brandon Sanderson's Cosmere, but also provide some discussion for longtime fans who may want to introduce someone to the series. I am Cheyenne, and I am here with my co-hosts Alfonsina and Alana, as well as returning special guest Christian.
Hello there.
Hi, welcome back.
Welcome.
Today we will be discussing The Well of Ascension. We will be avoiding spoilers for the rest of the series, including Hero of Ages, Era 2, and Secret History. But we will have spoilers for everything else, including all of Stormlight until Rhythm of War. So if you're not caught up, go read and then come back. We will be waiting for you.
Of course.
Alf, I saw you put a quote here. Do you want to start?
Yes. Okay, so starting with a very iconic phrase, I quote, "I write these words in steel, for anything not set in metal cannot be trusted." So, I thought this was a great starting point, because metals, you know?
Yeah.
Metals in the Cosmere.
Very important in Scadrial and, like, on the Cosmere in general.
To take this quote into some context, we have to mention that metal is the only medium in which this character Quan, the Lord Ruler's uncle, it's the only medium that he finds trustworthy to write a message, basically. And this comes from the epigraph, but you will find that this text is sometimes a little bit changed through the book. And it's changed whenever it's not when it's not written in metal, like when it's copied on paper or something like that, it's different, because anything not set in metal can be trusted. So
yeah, that's really, really interesting. I don't know if Alana has speculated on this last time, but we know metals are, like, very important for the Cosmere. I mean, we have the God of Metals, that is, like, the physical manifestation of a shard's investiture. Well, we have all the, like, metallic arts on Scadrial that are, like, the base for the magic system and everything else. The Lord Ruler's, like, lair is covered in metallic inlays.
Yes.
One of the God Metals turns people into Mistborn, like what happened to Ellen at the end of this book. We have metals that affect investiture, as we've seen in Stormlight and just all over the place. So, thoughts, speculation, like, why is metal, like, so important?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I'm fascinated and I can't wait to find out. But at the moment, I don't have a lot of theories there. I'd like to know, like, if I were to do a scientific study on this, like, if there is a specific kind of metal, like, I want to know what kind of metal he wrote it in, because I think he wrote in steel, because it's, like, the steel ministry. But I might be wrong on that. But, like, if you write it in a different metal, would that still change, but change in a different way than if you wrote it on paper sort of thing? Like, because we're seeing that it does infect investiture differently, and, like, we see that in Stormlight mostly, with where when you have certain metals for certain, like, fabrials. So I'm very interested, but I don't really have any theories. I don't know.
Well, the quote says, anything not set in metal, like metal in general, but I think that you have a very solid point there, because we have seen in Rhythm of War that with Fabrials, the, like, elemental the elemental nature of the metal is very important on the effect it ends up having.
Yeah, and it's, like, you can see, like, in the epigraphs of part one, like, how similar they are to the allomantic uses of metal on Scadrial, like, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now I'm actually wondering if Scadrial is similar to Roshar in that, like, people came there and weren't from that, like, planet, then, like, if it has something to do with the god being more natural and a part of the planet, and so it can affect the more, like, natural things, like paper and wood and other things you would do, whereas, like, the metal is more unnatural? I don't know. I'd like to see where that goes. I don't think that's really a thing, but
it's interesting.
Yeah, that's certainly.
I mean, we can recognize that metals are important all over the Cosmere, but certainly they have a central role in the Mistborn series because of the nature of the magic system. So the thing that I would like to remark in in this matter is that, well, I was completely blown by the fact that the metals affect the Faerials the same way in Roshar as they work in people on Skadriel.
Yeah. I really do remember like first chapters, the preview chapters, that everybody was like, oh my god, these epigraphs, like a clear connection to Skadriel. I mean, definitely not the biggest crossover we had in Rhythm of War, but
yes.
Everybody was like theorizing, like, why are these so similar to elemental metals, and why not ferrochemical metal, like the ferrochemical uses of metals and all those things.
Yes, besides, if you have all read like Bone Shard, at the end of it we get this reference about how this character that it's holding, the Downshard, gets like these similar senses to the ones you get when you have a lot of breath. And I think that we are reaching a point in the Cosmere in which we are starting to see the way that everything is a part of the same origin. Because we all know that everything comes from shards of Pagonal Sun, but we're starting to see the points in which the things work differently and the things work similar for the different planets. So, definitely metal is important. I mean, somehow it's been said that the shardblades are made of metal, but it's a weird metal that throws up like a misty thing when it disappears, when you like dismiss it, as well as the shard armor that when you lock.
Yeah, the shard plate, you can't.
Exactly. You can, like, when you put it on and it's locked down all over your body, it releases, like, a sort of misty thing around it. So,
which could be taken to be, like, stormlight or lifelight. Or,
the stormlight, the mist, whatever, but the metals, everything is connected. So, we're starting to see that.
And speaking of connections all over the Cosmere, one of the weirdest metals around is aluminum.
Yes.
Christian, you noted specifically its use in Rhythm of War, and aluminum is all over the place. Nightblood Scabbard is aluminum, and it can't be lightweaved.
I meant to ask about that.
Aluminum, takes away investiture, when Vin swallows it at the end of Final Empire, it takes away all her metal reserves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Duralumin that we see here.
The thrill in an aluminum box.
So yeah, this aluminum is weird because it affects all investiture in the same way. It nullifies it. And we have seen this effect in different books, in different situations, but always acting in the same way, having the same effect, which is negating different investiture coming from different shards. And I think that this book is in which we are introduced for the first time to aluminum. If you analyze the Cosmere books chronologically in the order they were published and released, it's the first time that aluminum is mentioned, and it's a long time ago. So Brandon was thinking about this ever since, I don't know, 10 years ago,
I believe, or 2005 or something. Then 2008. He wrote all these books straight. Wrote them all, and then released the first one 3 years after. And he kind of tricked the publisher in that regard. But he did say that he planned all the magic systems, at least, for Mistborn straight away. He had a lot of science background. He was a chemist.
Yeah, he was studying biochem before he switched his major to English.
And there's a note about aluminum. I don't know if I made this up in my mind, but I remember someone saying that aluminum is really rare on Roshar and is really valued economically.
Aluminum in itself, it's not very easy to find. Nowadays, on our Earth, we have it all over the place. We have the tin foil that's actually made out of aluminum foil and all that. But because we have the technology to be able to to refine it and actually get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not exactly at the technological level of Skadriel is right now, and Roshar is getting better, but their technology has been moving in a different way.
I mean, I'm not sure about Roshar, but I know that it's very weird on Skadriel, expensive, diamond level expensive.
Yeah, that's why only Inquisitors have it in Year One.
Yeah. I find it interesting that, like, even without them having all that, not money, the ATM that they thought they would, yeah. Vin is still, like, corresponding with this chemist, just, like, being like, hey, try mixing these different things with aluminum, and, like, let's see how it works. And I'm like, that is a bunch of money you're throwing around, Vin. Like, that is expensive stuff right there.
Yes. Yeah, she's the wife of the king now, so whatever.
But hey, it works, I mean...
Oh yeah, it works.
Dual element, which is really powerful.
To move on from metal, which is like still around everything in this saga, we have the important Skadrial weird species.
Yeah.
Colossus, and we have the Chandra.
Yeah, so we talked about the Colossus a little bit. Well, not like in depth, but we mentioned them in our Final Empire episode. Like, oh, the Colossus, we still don't exactly know what they are, but
we'll come back later.
We'll get to know them more later. And we do get a lot of them in this book. I mean, there's a whole army of Colossus.
Yeah, that's a bit of an understatement.
Yes, we see them, but we are going to learn a lot about them on the last book. Because they are going to be explained.
Yeah, and even right now, like, we do have a lot of them. Like, that whole plot of, like, Vin, like, being able to, like, mind control them with
Rass.
Emotional elemency.
Like, enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
Rass and Sync.
Emotional elemency. And, like, that's just so strange. Like, how in the world is she able, like, to control the Colossus? Like, even though, with, like, her emotional elemency is, like, enhanced by dual element, like, what in the world does that have to do, like, with the Colossus? I was wondering if you have any theories.
Oh gosh. Well, I'm trying to think because she said that. Okay. Trying to think this through in a way that makes sense. She said that the Colossus and the Chandra were created at the same time, right whenever the Lord Ruler, like, was in the Well of Ascension. And so they're related in that they can both be influenced and controlled by emotional allomancy. And I think I have a point with this. We'll see. I wonder if this is him. I wonder if this is him, like, testing out his powers. And so, like, he was trying because he had just also become a Mistborn, I think. I don't know if he used the god metal before or after, but around that time. And so maybe that was just a part of his, like, initial push of, like, power, like, created something. I don't know. Maybe he was like, hey, I want an army, and then was also testing out his emotional allomancy at the same time. I don't think he planned it like that. Like, I don't think he decided, like, oh, I want to build this specific thing, and, like, sat down and made it. Yeah. I don't know. I'm very interested. This is, once again, one of those things where I'm like, I'm very curious. But yeah, sorry, I wish I had more to say there.
No, it's actually very interesting, and we can say anything more than Raffo about that. But to summarize
of course.
What we have learned so far, we know that whatever power there was on the Well of Ascension that Vin didn't take, sadly, the Lord Ruler used.
Yeah.
He used it.
Well, she took it from moment that then gave it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which, like, good idea in theory, then not so great in practice.
I feel so sorry for
her. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we know that Lord Ruler used it. Somehow he made stuff with that. And we know that both the Chandra and the Colossus can be mind controlled with emotional adamancy. And this Chandra, the dog Chandra that she has, the imposter Chandra. Yes, I was about to say Tensun, and then I was like, whoa, spoiler alert, be careful, and then I was like, no, it's okay. But I had like a mental breakdown for a little while. So Tensun said specifically that the Colossus are the Chandra's cousins.
Which is strange because they look nothing alike, but...
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we don't know how a Chandra looks like
related somehow.
When they are not like imitating someone, when they are not like this weird zombie thing that can shapeshift into anyone.
Yeah.
Well, somehow.
Yeah, the Mistwraiths.
Yeah, the Mistwraiths are really the closest thing we have.
I was gonna say, the Mistwraiths, like, their description is kind of similar to the Colossus, if I remember correctly. And the Mistwraiths are always described as, like, the Chandra, but, like, lesser, like, unevolved Chandra sort of thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, I wonder if it's, like, a kind of, like, humans and apes sort of thing, where, like, they start as a similar thing and then, like, diverge, or what happened there.
Interesting.
I also wonder if the Condor was, like, he was trying to bring his friends back, like, if he had lost someone and was trying to use that power to bring someone back and instead created the Condra or something like that.
This new species.
Yeah. I don't know, I'm very curious. That's all I can say.
Well, yes, definitely a very interesting topic to discuss on the following episode, the nature of the Condra, the reason why they were created, the way in which they are similar to the Holos. But, I mean, I think it's very awesome that when you finish the Well of Ascension, you know so much more about both these species than on the first book, in which they are, like, this weird...
And yet you still don't know
yes,
so much.
Yes, and there's still so much to know, but, I mean, on the Final Empire, both the Condra and the Colos are stuff that belong to the richest people in society, and you don't see them very often, you know they exist, but no one actually, like, interacts with them so often.
Knows a lot about
and
them.
Now you get all this information that they are connected, that they can be mind control, and well, you know that they were created by the Lord Ruler, and all this stuff that they end up being resolved or explained on the end of the following book. So definitely a nice point to keep paying attention
because we still have questions.
So,
yeah, and actually, I might be reading a bit too much into this, but just listening to her talking to who she thought was Oresur, but was actually Tensun, it really reminded me of just, like, the discussions that people have about, like, levels of, like, oppression, and, like, well, like, as a white woman, I am part of a minority, but I'm not, like, oppressed in the same way that, like, a black woman is, and so, like... That discussion of, like, yeah, like, I'm Ska, I've been there, like, I feel your pain, and he's like, sort of,
yes.
And yet, no, like, there's a different sort of oppression happening here, and I thought it was just really interesting to, like, be able to read that as kind of a mirror for larger discussions.
Yes. Oh my, I mean, if you ever, like, reread this book, there's so much foreshadowing in the Tensun dialogues.
Yeah.
He's one of the characters that gives up the hugest amount of information about the major plot twist at the end of the saga. So yeah, Tensun.
Yeah, as soon as, like, that was revealed, I was like, oh, duh. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I mean, Brandon did learn his foreshadowing from Robert Jordan. And Robert Jordan was a master of that. Like, I've been going back to the Wheel of Time, and it's crazy how much foreshadowing there is. Like, literally, there are things in the first book that talk about events in the memory of what. I am not kidding.
Oh, man. I hope that my Brandon training
then it's the same,
helps me to discover these things as I'm reading the Wheel of Time for the first time now. But yeah, I mean, these two fellows, these Brandon and Robert Panas, they're crazy for the foreshadow, and they are very good about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought it was fun to compare the Condra thing with this game Among Us, because Vinny's all the time playing this paranoid suspicion game with everyone, and it ends up being... It reminds me also in Lilo and Stitch, Lilo and Stitch in English, I guess, in which Lilo talks about how can you make a tuna sandwich for a fish that's like an abomination. And when I read this, it was like, no, he ate another fellow Condra. How did he do that? This is an abomination. But those weren't really his bones, so I don't know. It's weird.
Did he eat Oresur, or did he just kill Oresur and then eat the dog?
Yeah, he killed him. He killed him and he ate the...
Okay, I was like, I was concerned.
Both, because I'm like,
there.
Ate the dog.
Like, let's avoid some Condra cannibalism.
I mean...
Yeah. How would a Condra eat another Condra besides, like...
I feel like, even if that isn't one of their rules, that should be, like, that...
You don't do it.
Like, please don't eat each other.
I mean, we don't know, like, this part of the Mistborn Era 1, but there has to be, logically, something that makes you a Condra. Something that without it, you're not the Condra anymore.
Yeah, mystery, essentially.
Mm-hmm. So...
Oh, I'm concerned now.
So, this Tensun fellow, he kind of grabbed the bones, the dog bones that Oresur had, and the thing that made him Kandra.
So do you have any thoughts on this, Chris? I hope we're not, like, talking over you too much.
I think the Kandra are my favorite species, and there's a reason why I love book three a lot, because we know everything about everything in this entire series by the end of that book. And that's I think that's why I hesitated on Era 2 for so long, because I was like, I'm happy with this series. And I finally read it, I was like, oh, okay, now I kind of get it. But the Kandra, I now look for them everywhere, even if it's not Scadrial. Like, I look, because I reread all the books last year in preparation for Rhythm of War, and I was constantly looking, like, because I think Brandon said, like, Haya is really hard to imitate. So a lot of bald people, those are the first people you should look at. And so, like, that's what I was looking for.
Oh, no.
Like, in every book.
Is Zeth a Kandra?
Wacko.
We have no idea. That's the thing. We know there's a Kandra on Roshan. Oh, my God. It's huge. We have no idea who it is, and Brandon keeps raffling who it is. He's confirmed it's not Navani.
Which is very disturbing.
We have no idea who the Roshan Kandra is.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, who even asked, who thought, like, of all the people here, it's Navani?
Someone with an evil heart.
Like, I have no idea.
Oh my goodness.
I was looking for the Wob on the Roshan Kandra earlier, and it was like, the original one, it's a paraphrased one, and it says, Skywalker asked, are there any Kandra on Roshar? Because some people, like, there have been previous Wobs, like, saying that, like, Kandra, like, aren't, like, only in Scadrial, and so they asked specifically about Roshar. Brandon was like, yes, and Skywalker's like, is Axis one of them? Brandon said, no, but good guess, the Amians are a different race.
Nice.
And so there's a Kandra on Roshar, and we know they've appeared on screen.
Yes, Brandon said that explicitly.
As of Oathbringer. I don't know if as of Words of Radiance, but as of Oathbringer, the Kandra has been on screen.
I think it was ever since Words of Radiance that we have been seeing this Kandra imposter among everyone.
Oh gosh.
Keep an eye out for the Kandra on every Sanderson book, because they're awesome.
The problem is, they're almost impossible to find.
I mean, yes, but whenever they are, like, explicitly mentioned that, yes, this person is a Kandra, I mean, pay attention, because what Brandon makes with the Kandra at the end of Era 1 is absolutely epic and wonderful. It's one of my favorite plot twists.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, he keeps using the Kandra resource in a way that I'm not going to say how. He uses it on Era 2, but stuff related to the Kandra keeps showing up. And, I mean, on Roshar, they could make a mess on Roshar. I mean,
Dear.
So many stuff are happening.
I mean, we already have two species that can imitate people on Roshar. We have the Kandra, because we know there's a Kandra on Roshar, and we have the Dissianamians.
Yes.
Yeah, is that the bugs that, like, go to form one person?
Yeah.
Okay, I was gonna say that the Kandra will remind me of them.
Obviously,
and kind of, like, how they, like, meet to set rules to be like, okay, as a whole, we are all going to do this thing now. I'm only, like, halfway through Dawn Shard, so that's all that I have seen.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I keep getting stuck, like, halfway through, so.
So I'm trying to think, because Hoyd specifically mentions that he doesn't like the Sleepless, or the Aeomians, and I wonder how he feels about the Kandra. Mm-hmm. Has he ever, talked about that?
I don't know if Brandon has ever... Wait a second, I have Arcanum pulled up, so I can search.
Is Hoyd the Kandra?
No.
I don't... No.
Sorry, I'm just going to be asking this with everyone now, because I'm like, anyone could be the Kandra.
Someone should find Avalos bones and pretend to be him.
Oh no!
What if he was a Kandra?
Gosh, okay, you are chaotic evil, Christian.
Yes.
Really mess with Dalinar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the plot of book 5. They're like, screw this whole, like, dual thing. No. We're bringing back Gavel.
Gavel is a set.
And
oh my gosh.
All of y'all gotta deal with it.
We'll never die.
Oh god.
Oh, imagine Dalinar having to explain his brother about his new wife. Hey yo.
Yeah, hey bro. I'm with your wife now. Get over it. She liked me better than you anyway.
But my particular theory is that the Kandra on Roshar is Pelona. that's Suvariel, High Lord Suvariel, not wife, because she's kind of his wife, but actually no, because she refuses to marry him, and she's like the mistress, and I think it's her, because this Suvariel person is a very strategic point on the court, because he's economically powerful, he's connected, but he's not liked, and since she's not the actual wife, Bellona is not, like, paid much attention, and she's dismissed because she's kind of eccentric. Like, she arrives at the, how's the name of this battle? The Reckoning Battle at the end of Realm of War. She arrives and she's reading a book in a palanquin when the Everstorm is being summoned from the first time. I mean, the Parshendi listeners are like, Ameno. And she's there reading a book.
Ooh, I just remembered a mob that I really want to talk about. Yeah, okay.
So,
yeah. This is what happens when you go on Arcanum. My mind just got blown with a mob about a Hero 2 character, and then now I can't talk.
Yeah, I mean, save that for our Era 2 episodes, because they are going to happen eventually, and they're going to be hilarious. But on my final point about Bellona, I think that we have seen Shalem becoming quite important for the Cosmere on Realm of War. Throughout the book, when she talks with Mraes, her connection with the Ghostbloods about the other planets, and he mentions, oh, there's so much for you to see and you're gonna love it, and she's like, yeah, but I don't want to do it with you, and blah blah blah. I think that she's meant to be important on the Cosmere. I'm pretty sure that she's going to become a world hopper at some point. Well, we know that she's not going to be doing that on the Ghostblood side, but I think that if Bellona was a world hopper Kandra from any like society or organization, it's probably very interesting to keep an eye on Shallan and being around her. And also, every time she gets like a letter from Mraes, ever since Wars of Radiance, she gets it inside her room. So the Ghostbloods are somehow infiltrating in her room, either by being very stealthy or by having someone in the service, I don't know, infiltrating. But I think that Bellona could be the Kandra with the Ghostbloods, or she could be with another organization like the 17th Shard, or I don't know.
I was thinking with Chris, because they do a lot of drawing, and she's the best, because she can just memorize it and light weave. So maybe whoever assistant is dies, she'll need a new artist, and she can go, well, hopping. Go to Silverlight, we can finally see Silverlight, get some info on that.
Oh, she's definitely going into Silverlight.
I really want that Silverlight.
I'm sure Shalan is going to be there.
POV, right?
I'm sure. I don't have any proof, but I don't have any doubt. And definitely want her to meet Chris. Yes, that would be very nice. Oh, what if Chris is a Kandra? Now everyone could be.
No, I really don't think so. Besides, Chris hasn't appeared. Well, that doesn't rule out. I really don't think Chris is a Kandra.
Neither, I was joking.
I'm not seeing any confirmation of what Hoyt thinks of the Kandra. But
I'm pretty sure he's never talked.
I found some very interesting wobs. That is something I really want to talk about.
Are they related to Era 2?
No. It's about Well of Ascension specifically, and where Hoyt is in Well of Ascension.
Okay, that I want to know, because he has been very quiet. Surprisingly quiet.
Isn't he leading some people to some place?
Yeah. God, this swab is long. Okay, so Little Wilson asks, so Brandon, Hoy, I remember you saying at the Idaho Falls signing last year that he was in the Well of Ascension. We, your dedicated fans, like scouring books searching for obscure characters who have any possibility of being the mysterious Hoy, have yet to find them. Peter sent us on a hunt for him, Hoy, not Peter, in the deleted scenes, and we found his bootprint. Now, I think you brought the pottery there too, the one holding the Larosium, and since there's broken pottery in the actual version, I think he might have snuck into the cavern and broken it as well. So, if so, is this Hoyt's part in Well of Ascension? This the trace of him? I commend you if it is. It's clever making us think it was a person when in fact it's just something he did. Brandon said, you're on the right track, but wrong on one point. Hoyt does appear in the book. I had originally toyed with making his touch in the novel more obscure, but I decided that I wanted to be consistent with the other novels by actually having him appear. Once I realized I'd probably cut the scene with the footprint, I decided I needed his actual appearance even more badly. Fortunately, I knew what Hoyt had been up to all this time and had placed him in a position where several characters could run into him. In Well of Ascension, Hoyt believed, as Vin did, that the world was in the north, even though it was not. He spent much of his book pursuing this idea. Through events, however, he discovered he was wrong. He made the realization after Vin did, but only because of a chance meeting. This is recorded in the books, let's just say he was listening when someone implied that the well was in Lúthedain. He hurried to Lúthedain and was in town, skulking about in the last parts of the novel. He isn't seen here, though he doesn't infiltrate the well. Hoyt is quite proficient at manipulating Shazmark at his own needs. Also, let's not get into Ian's opinions about why the cognitive realm should not be called Shadesmar out of Roshar. That comment just reminded me of that. Ian from Shardcast, I mean. And there's another one that Zaz678 said, I have some more in-depth questions that will probably get raffled. For fans who want to know what I'm talking about, here we go. Who is Hoyt in Well of Ascension? We have found some candidates. Well, we know it isn't the man who discovered Duralumin, or the Skull Leader outside the dress shop, or the old Skull who waits with the Holy First Witness when the Kolos attack. I think those were all candidates, well, all of the characters we found as Brandon. People are really close to this one, as I noticed later in this thread. You or someone else mentioned the footprints in the deleted scene. Hoyt's appearance in Well of Ascension is a little unlike the others. When the scene at the well was moved in revision, one of Hoyt's major influences on the book had to go for various reasons. Left in the book is only one little hint, really. A character notices something odd about someone, but doesn't dwell on it. You can probably find the line if you look very closely. Let me say this. Hoyt got wrapped up in things he didn't expect to be involved in, and they dominated much of his time during the events of Well of Ascension. He spent most of the book in a different place from most of the viewpoint characters. He's only near them for a very short time, and he's deeply in disguise. I couldn't include his name, as he'd never used the name Hoyt for himself there, because it wouldn't have been right for the disguise. He'd have used a pseudonym. He didn't, by the way, mention one. I've probably said too much already. Now, perhaps, what people should be asking me is this. What has Hoyt been up to in all of these books? Or maybe they shouldn't ask me, as I wouldn't be likely to answer. Of course you're not going to answer, Brandon. There are clues in the novels, however. No, he's not just hanging out. Yes, I know what he's been doing. Will I write his scene someday? Maybe. We'll see. There will be some short stories posted on my website. Short stories which, as far as I'm aware of, don't exist.
Yes.
Come on, Brandon.
Because Brandon has been very, very, coy with Hoyt's purpose. We know a bit more about him.
He said, I already said a lot. To, he didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Especially through the, like, our biggest recent revelation on Hoyt came
after Dawnshard.
From the Dawnshard AMA.
Yes.
I'm not going to say what it is, because that's related to the end of Dawnshard, and Elana hasn't finished that, I just learned.
You can tell me.
If you want, I can tell you.
It's gonna
But you be have to agree. You have to sign a contract, and I will say it.
You're not going to understand really what it means.
Yeah, I feel like I'm selling my soul to, like, our little resident spoiler friend.
I mean, I need to get out.
I guess I'll go about it the correct way, or Shay's way, and just go ahead and read it.
If you want to know, I'm gonna need you to sign a blood contract, otherwise Shay is going to walk until... She's going to walk up to my Argentinian home from Colombia, and she's gonna kill me. And she's gonna trap me in a sphere, and I will be trapped there forever.
Oh no.
With her Aes Sedai powers.
Oh.
Yes, I'm in the ocean.
With the thrill in an aluminum box.
Oh gosh. Okay, I just gotta say, like, that just reminds me of, like, the end of, I think, like, Jumanji, where I'm like, don't throw it in the ocean, it will always wash up. Like,
yeah,
someone
and
will
like,
always
in
find
Warbreaker.
It.
Yeah, in Warbreaker, they throw Nightblood in the ocean. They found the Nightblood.
Exactly. I'm like, come on, guys.
No.
Do better than
but,
that.
No, but Brandon has said the thrill is safer than we think it is, because this was the best thing Hoyt could come up with, and Hoyt was the one that advised Yasuna to do that, like, to put it in an aluminum box.
You know, Unmade are really easy to see.
Ocean, so apparently it's
Brandon
safer
said,
than we
thought. On May are really easy to
yeah,
see
I
in
know.
The comments.
I know, I've had my share, though.
It's not impossible to find. So book six.
Oh, yeah, dear. That's true.
Yes, and I've had my share of pirates animes, and I have learned to respect the ocean and the seas. Enough to not throw stuff in there.
Yeah, also don't litter. Come on, Yasta.
Come on, yeah, actually, yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Imagine all the fishes getting angry because of the thrill on the bottom of the sea. I know they actually won because of the aluminum box, but just imagine the fishes going swimming angrily at each other.
Thinking this is how you get like your DC Cosmere crossover, like this is what creates like Atlantis and all of that. Yep.
Nice.
Okay, so we actually figured out where Hoid is in Well of Ascension, but do you want to discuss that while I actually find the wall?
Yeah, sure.
I know exactly where he is, but I don't know if it's a spoiler.
I've got no idea where he is, so if y'all could inform me, that would be lovely.
Yeah, okay. These are a lot of wobs, and they're long ones, so sorry if I read too much. This is from, one of Brandon's posts on the 17th Shard. Wait a second, let me read through this before, because it's tagged with secret history. Oh. So
it's
wait a second.
Not safe if it's, Elena, what?
Yeah, and I might be able to read some parts, so that's
I want to know, what are you going to do? Because there's, like, this huge division among the fandom related to the options of the reading order of the secret history. You can either read it after era 1, or you can read it after era 2.
I think era 1.
Which you should it.
Which you should.
Yeah, you should read it after era 2.
Oh my
Don't
gosh.
Listen to Christian and read it after era 1.
Because I am terrified that Shay will, like, track me down if I read it after era 1, I'll probably go with the era 2 option.
Yeah.
Why is everybody so mad? Why is everybody so terrified of me getting mad?
Yeah, because you inspire respect.
You're scary.
Maybe it's the Sedai after your name that, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna use the one power on us and we will never recover. You are the person that I trust the most to decide what I should do next, so if you say after Era 2, then I'm just gonna go after Era 2.
Yeah,
I know that.
I actually saw a Reddit post.
Is it you, Chris, that
week,
really wants someone to try?
Yeah.
Of someone who did that, and they were blown away and they loved it. And me and Alf were like, yes, we have evidence. I would say the vast majority do Era 2, so go for that.
Okay, well, now I'm second guessing.
What do you prefer? Do you want to get the emotional crying shock, or do you want to get the plot twist? Reveal shock. That's the question you want to ask yourself.
I was gonna say neither of those sound like good options, but I'd rather not get the crying twist.
Okay,
then
after
you're a Stella, because you're gonna cry for sure with the following book.
Yeah, I'm very, very concerned about that. You have mentioned that before.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how that goes.
I mean, I don't consider myself someone particularly sensitive nor insensitive. I'm like a middle point. In this book, we get so many characters dying on the Well of Ascension. And I mean, those deaths made me teary-eyed. But the Hero of Ages ending got me to like ugly cry and sob in several parts, to the point that I have family living by my house, and they saw me crying on the table where I was reading. They saw me through the window, and they were like, calling me on the phone, hey, are you okay? Did something happen? I was like, I'm just reading a book. my cats, they were so upset when I was crying, because they saw me there, and we were all over
okay.
the place.
Aww. I think I found one I can read in its totality about where Hoid was in Well of Ascension, because the other one has to do with secret history continuity.
Okay.
Because really, that's what made Ren, like, finally decide on where he was, because secret history continuity wasn't working. Mm. So, can you tell us a little bit about what Hoid was up to in Terrace in the Well of Ascension? He was hunting the Well of Ascension. In the new continuity, he already knew where the well was. Yeah, anyway. That was one of our big casualties, like the fact that Hoyt had to get cut out of. Well, of Ascension, like, exactly.
Yeah, you'd think that Hoyt would know where the well is, just being, like, a world hopper.
Why?
Like, I feel like you'd be able to see that in the cognitive realm.
Yeah, I mean, the well is a perpendicularity.
Yeah, but also, like, he has that whole, like, he just knows where he needs to be. And you'd think that he would be at the big battle. But I can be wrong. It makes me nervous when Hoyt isn't where I expect him to be.
Spiritual mumbo jumbo.
Because I'm like, where? What? I don't like this. I thought you would be right here, and you're not.
Yeah, the point is that Hoyt was, like, in, like, Terrace, like, looking for the Well of Ascension, and he helped, like, some of the refugees there.
Oh, okay, so, like, did they mention him? Like, did the refugees that they met up with mention him?
They never mentioned him by name, but we know he was with them.
Okay.
Like, really, most of Hoyt got cut out of Well of Ascension during revisions. And, like, the really big clues about where he was during all of this are in Secret History. That's why I can't say. But, yeah, he was with refugees. But he was also at the Well of Ascension at some point. I read, like, he took a bead of Larosium, so he's Mistborn now. We've seen him use Allomancy in Stormlight in one of Shallan's flashbacks. Flashbacks I can't talk today. And so, yeah, he can use Allomancy now because of that little visit to the Well of Ascension.
Yeah, well, that just reminded me that, going back to the kind of imposter game that is trying to figure out who the Chondra is, who did you guys think the Chondra was on your first read?
I don't remember, actually. Like, funny thing, one of the, like, the listener question from Starcast on the Legendary and Discord says, it'll be interesting to hear some of your old theories when you all read the books for the first time, regardless if they were right or wrong. I don't remember my old theories because I read Mistborn really quickly. Just before Corona hit, before I went to New Orleans, like, it was, like, the week before Corona hit here. And I really don't remember any of my theories because I was reading so fast that I didn't really have time to form, like, complete theories. And I just really don't remember any.
I was just gonna say, I read the books in a week span, that Thanksgiving break, in 2016. Because that's when I finally picked up the books. Because I remember Ben's Warning coming out and almost picking it up, and I was like, nope, maybe I should not read that.
2016.
Because I don't know my thought process behind that, but I read Well of Ascension in 2 days, and the only one who I suspected was Alan.
You should.
Because he's very distant from Ben, and I thought, like, you know, if I was a Chondra, you know, I'd be uncomfortable, you know, pretending to be a lover to Ben.
Same.
She's super dangerous, so I don't want to piss her off. But at the same time, it's like, I don't want to make her suspicious, but she was suspicious a lot. And distant. They were both distant. They didn't communicate at all in Well of Ascension. That's, like, the central reason for all the problems. But,
yeah, they're both so bad at
communication. Yeah, I just remember Alan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same here.
They really need a couples therapist.
I mean, I think it's made...
Thank goodness it's not Ellen.
It's made very clear that Ellen wasn't, like, a possibility for the imposter for some reason. They were on the same carriage or something like that.
Or so say.
Exactly, but yeah. I remember that while I was reading The Well of Ascension, which was not on 2 days, it was in a longer period of time, I was like, okay, it's not supposed to be Ellen, but I'm really scared that it's Ellen because that would be horrible and I will be very sad and absolutely heartbroken if it is him. So I hope he's not, and every time he would say something, I was like trying to see if something slipped out in there. But I never had, like, the full theory that the actual imposter was him. It was just like a fear. It would have been horrible. But what I can remember is that since I had already read The Way of Kings and Words of Radiance, I used to think that, and I was just learning about how the Cosmere is all connected, I was having theories about the mist spirit being some kind of weird spren. Like, mm-hmm. I was thinking that you got spren on Skate Rail, and you were going to learn more about them on the Hero of Ages. So I was, like, hoping to see spren in the planet, like, pop out or something. And no, it's not a spren. And I thought myself so clever for seeing that. And I was like, yeah, he's a spren. That's the reason why he's so weird and blah blah blah. And she, that the, them, I mean the me spirit needs to be think of by more people to be more real in their physical realm or something. Nope. That fellow.
Yeah, and we still don't even know what the me spirit actually is because it was acting so weird in Well of Ascension.
Oh gosh, so we don't get an answer.
No,
on that?
You get an answer on Secret History. That's why you're
no, at this point
read
I'm saying. Oh yeah.
After.
God, right. I can't wait for you to read Secret History.
Oh my god.
I'm super excited. If you, as I said, if you want, like...
You're making a really good case. I will say that.
Like, you don't have to, like, wait all the way until our year 2 episode to go read those. Like, whenever you want, like, from here to there, go read it because it's... You're going to make our job easier not having to, like... Hold back those
reviews.
Yeah.
Spoilers for you.
Yeah, really as soon as
hard.
I finish Hero of Ages, I'm probably gonna go right on to the next, like, Era 2. Because
wonderful.
I'm trying to save Hero of Ages at least a bit until I'm past finals week. So I can actually just, like,
sit
down and just,
very
like...
Very good idea.
I don't think
just, like, really get into Hero of Ages.
I don't think that's a book that you should read. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but that's not a book that you should read when you are emotionally vulnerable. Because...
The thing
that's being released is not very polite and nice with people. It's not precisely like a friend.
It's not a polite evil spirit,
you
know.
It's not a friendly evil spirit.
Oh gosh.
So
okay, definitely not a finals week book then. I will keep that in mind.
Unless
no.
you need like a catalyst for your crying process, because I have friends with the theory that when you're sad and you're stuck with the anxiety, sadness or whatever, like with the emotional vulnerability, you have to watch a movie or a TV show or an anime or read a book that's very sad. So that you cry your heart out.
Which is super strange.
And then you are like...
My sister has that same theory.
If you're one
well,
of those...
Well, sometimes you have to wallow. Like, if you're not feeling good, listen to some sad music or something.
That's the thing, yeah. Like, being sad and listening to sad music so that you can cry and then go on.
Cry and then move on.
Yeah, but Well of Ascension is not a book for finals week.
Oh gosh.
Well of Ascension is not
Hero of Ages.
Sorry. I think we've been, like, we haven't been dancing around this, but we're still missing one of the biggest things in the end of the Well of Ascension. I know we all hate Zane.
Yes.
We've talked about this extensively.
Yep.
But God was speaking to him, and before Zane died, before the voice said, "You're not crazy.
Goodbye.
Then."
Who was that? What?
It was God.
Was he, like, accidentally a shard bearer or something? Like, what happened there?
Oh, I remember.
Because the only thing I can think of is that he was, like, a bondsmith or something. Which I don't think they have. So, what?
Yeah, I thought that there could be a connection between the me spirit and the voice that this fellow kept hearing. Because, I mean... At the end of the book, the Miss Spirit stabbed Ellen, and, like, that's evil, and Zane was evil, so probably a connection there, that's what I thought. But not really, actually. That's not, like, a thing, but I remember thinking that, and then just reading Ovations and saying, nope, wasn't like that. But, yeah, this fellow was hearing voices, and these voices, it was actually one voice. And it referred to itself as the voice of God. And
yeah, Zane called it, like, the voice of God.
In his head.
God was telling him to kill everybody, except Vin.
He'll be like, hello, what's your name?
But...
And the voice saying, kill the person.
Yeah,
kill.
I really want to know who you think God, like Zane calls him, is. Like, why in the world is Zayn hearing this voice, and why is this voice telling him to kill everybody except Vin? Like, why is Vin the exception to this?
I don't know, I'm having, like, a little crisis over here trying to figure this,
this
out.
This is a perfect moment for a mate noise. Mate as in the Argentinian yes. beverage that makes a sound, a funny sound, which is, it's created for the purpose of feeling awkward moments. When there's an awkward moment, you just slurp the mate noise. So, yeah.
And that's what you do to avoid saying spoilers.
Yeah.
Anytime, like, we don't have Raffo anymore, we just have the mate slur.
Yes.
Oh gosh. I don't know, is this, like, the Lord Ruler not dead? And, like, speaking to Zayn?
Interesting.
Is, what?
Why would the Lord
Ruler? Oh dear, now I'm wondering,
not
like...
want to be dead, maybe, that's the question.
That's a good question. But now I'm just wondering...
Because, I mean, if it did...
Did they, like, burn the Lord Ruler's body or something? Or can Akandra, like, get his body
that's
and come back?
That's
like,
actually an
I'm concerned.
Excellent question for the whole Mistborn saga, as in the whole Era 1, Era 2, Era Forever saga. Because the fate of the Lord Ruler
wait a second, let me put that question on my questions for Brandon
yes.
list. Because now I
like, what
curious.
Did they do with him?
What did they do with him?
I don't...
I want to know the same thing.
Oh, wait. Who's someone that wants to kill people? Nightblood. Is he, like... is there some connection there? Except Nightblood's, like, not trying to kill people. He thinks that he's, like, bringing justice. So now I'm... Huh.
Nightblood is just being a good sword. Who needs a pat-pat?
I know, he's doing his best.
Pat-pat.
He's trying.
I mean, his purpose is stabbing things and destroying evil.
Destroying evil.
Yeah, I got no idea. I'm very curious. I kind of assumed that that was the voice. Like, the voice was still his own voice in his head. Like, it wasn't, like, a real person. And that he was just, like, reassuring himself before he died that he wasn't crazy. Mm-hmm. But with the way y'all are talking about it, that is not the case.
That's not the case.
Oh, I'm trying to figure out, because I kind of assume that it's, like, the spirit within the... Well of Ascension, and they don't want him to kill Vin because Vin is the person that will release him. But then how the heck would that voice be talking to Zayn, and why Zayn specifically? And, like, how... I don't know.
I have
there
the
are
answer.
So many questions.
I have the answer.
I have so many questions and so few answers.
I mean, no. I have to disagree with you there, because I have the answer for all your questions. And these answers are actually in this book, but I don't want to talk about them until the following book, because if I told you what to look for, I will be somehow saying, like,
yeah,
pay attention to this or that. But the reason, I mean, even if I can't mention it right now, because it would lead you to some plot-relevant information, the reason why... This fellow.
That's purposefully
hidden. The reason why this fellow Zayn is listening to a voice is explicitly said on the book, on the Well of Ascension.
Oh, God,
it's just
okay.
Very hidden. I mean, it's so hidden that I didn't catch it at all the first time I read it. I was like, when I found out listening to my podcast about the Cosmere, I was like, oh, is that so? Is that the reason? I didn't get it. And when I reread it, I saw that and I was like, how can I miss something like this? But that happens a lot with Brandon.
Yeah, I really want to reread Well of Ascension, but I have no time right now with Wheel of Time and then Stormlight, and then if I don't read something different, my mom is gonna kill me. But I really want to finish rereading Era 1.
Gosh, y'all are gonna make me, like, just start rereading Well of Ascension right now to try and find it. Because I feel like he mentions...
Yeah, it's, like, the same feeling.
I feel like he mentions a thing when he was a child.
Yeah, it's the same feeling you get, like, when you finish the Wheel of Time, when the first thing you want to do is reread the Wheel of Time.
That's perfectly fine, and you should do it if you feel like. Whatever to fill the emotional void.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, I had Era 2 when, like, Secret History, and, like, everything I was missing of the Cosmere to fill that, so I didn't have to go reread Wheel of Time immediately, but... Yeah.
Oh, the Wheel of Time is filling my Cosmere void.
The same kind of feeling.
My Cosmere void of having to wait, like, a year for each book, which is, like, a privilege. I feel like when people here in Argentina complain about silly stuff, they call them first world problems. So when I complain that I have to wait Brandon for writing another book, I feel like I'm making a first world complaint.
Yeah, and especially like in comparison to like authors like Martin and Rolf, the stuff takes so long.
We don't say those names here. No, oh, come on, I don't want to be, I don't want to throw any more shade to those authors.
Yeah, they've got their reasons. We can respect that.
Yeah.
But yeah, my friend Mason, I got him into Stormlight, and he's read like other books in the Cosmere, but only really cares about Stormlight, which like, I get, Stormlight is my favorite series in the Cosmere, but he finished, he was really excited because Rhythm of War came out, and so we read it at the same time and started talking about it, and he goes, okay, when is book 5 coming out? Because I had mentioned, like, oh, you know, Brandon writes books really quickly. And he had read all the Stormlight books, like, a month before Rhythm of War came out, and so he only had, like, a month waiting. Now, every time we talk I mention, like, a book I'm reading, he's like, right, so when is Stormlight 5 coming out? When? And so I mentioned, like, oh, you know,
2023. Like, November 2023. Yeah, I'm
like, Brandon's got, like, another, like, Mistborn book coming out. You know, you should check that out. And he's like, but
like when is the Stormlight book
coming out? And I'm like... Oh, I'm trying to help you here, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then he's gonna have a bigger problem when we get the break between Stormlight 5 and Stormlight 6.
About that. Oh, crap. Because
Brandon...
All I can say is that these books are big enough that if you read them twice or even three times, which I have done, you keep finding new stuff hidden in them. So they are a new experience each time. I don't know, I have the unpopular opinion that I have only read a book for real once I have read it twice, so I stand for that. Unless it's a not very nice book. Unless I didn't enjoy it. But I don't want to give the feeling that if you don't read this book twice or three times, you won't understand. It's just that you will understand if you read only one once, but you will have a different experience if you read twice, which is okay. Either if you do it, either if you don't do it.
Yeah, so completely unrelated to what you were talking about earlier, even though if it's still about Lane. What in the world is up with that spike at the end of chapter 46?
I literally was going back to, like, remind myself what Zane had said with the whole god thing, and then found that again. And what? How did we not talk about this in the first episode, but also, what? Okay. I need your opinions on this. Although, shoot, you guys, I'm the only one here that did, like, has... did they try to make him into an inquisitor? And that is how he was able to talk to God? Like, or the voice?
I don't want to answer.
Gosh, okay.
Yes, Mate I want slurp. To
Yeah, because that seemed like an inquisitor sort of thing, but the inquisitors seemed like they only survive because they have all of their spikes intact, and you have like that one, I thought it was like at the same place that Zane has his.
The linchpin, there's some debate about where it actually is, because it's contradicting the Hemology chart, or it might something different. I was listening to the podcast the other day. Anyway, just a whole bunch of things, but
I think the key word is spike.
Yeah, we don't know.
That's the specific word they use for the metal thing, the metal, like, edgy thing that the Inquisitors have in them, through them. So, yeah, definitely weird and creepy. Because if it's Inquisitor related, it's creepy.
Yeah.
Because Inquisitors are very creepy. Not as creepy as some things in The Wheel of Time, but Inquisitors are creepy.
I started reading the, like, very beginning of Hero of Ages, just, like, skimming through it. And it starts off from, like, Marsh's perspective, and now I'm like, oh, I need to know everything. But I had to, like, put it down, as soon as I start, I'm Hero of Ages, to stop.
I did a tier list of all the Cosmere books recently. There's a reason it's number one.
Yeah, is there anything that you want to talk about, Christian? I know we're kind of, like...
Everything is explained in spoilers. I've never seen something wrapped up so well. It's insane. Because book one, because this is the first fantasy book I read since Percy Jackson. I was like 10 or 11. And so I read it and I was like, this is weird. Like, I didn't know what was going on. Book two, I was like, I know what's going on. And then book three happens and it completely blows everything out of the water. And the spikes thing is very satisfying to learn about. I'm trying not to say anything at all.
Yeah. It's satisfying to learn about, not satisfying to, like, imagine.
To learn about, not think to think about.
Yeah. Unless you're into, I mean, I don't kink shame, that's okay. As long as there's, like, consentment and stuff. So yeah, I retire what
as
I
long
said
as torture is consensual.
Spike's being weird. Anyway, I don't think he was saying it.
And I'm really excited, like, for the fact that Brandon said he's going to be writing UO3, like, straight through. Because he wants to try what he did for UO1 again and see how it worked. He did say that if he needs a break with UO3, he might work on the Elantra sequels. But he has so many books to write in that gap. Because right now, after, like, Wax and Wayne 4 is done, I don't know if he'll have time to do Skyward 4.
I just got meant
book
one, so.
He has to start Stormlight 5.
Just caught it with that stupid Skyward
not
thing.
Sure.
I don't want any more non-Cosmere books. I'm sorry, Skyward. I don't care about you.
Yeah, after Wax and Wayne 4, if he has time, he'll do Skyward 4. Yeah, he is going to do Skyward 4 before Stormlight 5. He talked about that on his live stream this week.
Did.
The week that we are recording this.
There was a bit of a delay.
Not the actual week this is released. Yeah, that he's been doing, like, the pre-writing for Wax and Wayne 4, that it's, like, really solid according, like, the outline he has according to everybody who's he's talked to and all. His schedule for this is much more flexible, so he should have Skyward 4 and, like, considerable revision time for both Wax and Wayne 4 and Skyward 4 before starting on Stormlight 5. And after Stormlight 5, we're going to have to wait for Cosmic Things, like, while he writes UO3 all straight through, but that might, like, use Elantris books, like, as a break and, like, wrap up what he hasn't been able to, like.
Oh. I could, like...
Anyway, he talked about that on his live stream this week. Watch that.
Oh, I was gonna say, I always forget that he has other, like, non-Cosmere series. So, like, when they come up, I'm like, wait, what? Okay. But yeah, what were you saying?
Oh, I was saying that I wonder, and I would like to ask Brandon, when in this writing process he has, when does he do his research? Like, you get a lot of informed perspective on mental health issues on Stormlight and... I know in Era 2, since it's steampunk, you get a lot of gunslinger references and, I don't know, guns knowledge.
Yeah.
And he always does his homework so that his books feels realistic, at least inside of the in-world system. And I wonder, when does he do the research, the actual research about that stuff?
I think that during, like, writing, I know beta readers are a huge part of that. Oh. And I think, like, during, like, revisions, he also uses that time to, like, research because it's not as intensive as, like, a first draft where that's not as important. Yeah, I think you can actually see that a lot with Dawnshard. For the people who did the Kickstarter, you get access to the Dawnshard, like, drafts, like, from draft one to, like, the finished draft. I haven't finished looking at those, but, yeah, you can definitely tell, like, things have changed, like, especially, like, with Risen and, like, the whole wheelchair thing. Like, there's a whole aspect in the final version of Dawnshard that wasn't there at the beginning that he got told by his beta rebooted it.
So, what if we move on to the solid, liquid, and gas investiture references we get here in this book, and as well as the rest of Cosmere?
Sure, yeah. Sounds good.
So, I don't know if you got this, but there's smoke near the Well of Ascension, mentioned at the beginning of chapter 58. I didn't pay attention to it on the first read that I gave this book, but I noticed that after I was more Cosmere aware on my second read, and yeah, I mean, a weird gas.
I mean, we have seen, like, gas being, like, important in a different way than metal is. I mean, we have Stormlight, which is gaseous form. We have the mist in this point, whatever those are. Think of other examples.
The breath? Aren't the breath, like,
Nightblood, the breath.
Oh, yeah, and Nightblood that's dripping.
Yeah, we have Nightblood that's, like, leaking, like, the black smoke.
Yeah, very edgy in style. I love it.
That's Nightblood. Like, definition.
So yeah, I mean, we know that investiture can take all these different shapes, and we have talked about this on previous episodes, but here we see, like, when we were discussing the plasma investiture, we see actual liquid investiture in the Well of Ascension, and we know that's important because whatever in released she did it after drawing from this power that was in liquid form. And whatever happened to Ellen happened after he drew power or investiture from the bead of Lirasium. Well, the black smoke.
Yeah, any thoughts on what it is, why it's there, or just different color of mist and that?
I don't know. There's so much here where I'm like, I'm sure it tells us somewhere in there, but I just didn't see it. Yeah, it definitely did remind me of the, like, Nightblood kind of, like, mist smoke thing that you get there, but I didn't really read too much into it because I was kind of like, oh gosh, they found the thing. So yeah, that's another thing where I'm like, very interested, don't have much of my own thoughts on the topic.
Yeah, I wish you would stream yourself read
last five chapters
the end
easily
of the Hero of Ages, because there's no doubt you're going to binge.
Yes,
the end.
You need to record
of
that.
Hero of Ages. You're going
oh gosh.
To. I'm
well,
sure
whenever
you
I get to the end, we'll just set up another like Google Meet and y'all can just watch me start crying or whatever. Whatever's gonna happen.
Yep. Please. Yeah, it's funny because, yeah, Drew from Inking Out Loud, he read Words of Radiance before his co-host, Rob, way back in the day, before they had started the podcast, and he was like, Rob, I need to do me a favor. I need you to start recording, like, your reaction when you get to the Amaram point of view. Because he couldn't say Seth, because that would ruin it, because Seth died in Words of Radiance.
Yeah.
And so he couldn't say it. So he was like, okay, the Amaran point of view. And so Rob recorded his reaction to Nightblood. And that's up on their Patreon, and I really want to see that. And yeah, Drew regrets not making Rob record his reaction to the end of Rhythm of War. And I'm going to do it to the three of them. There are some chapters in the Wheel of Time that I greatly need you to record your reactions.
Okay.
To.
Well,
Wheel of
you guys
speak and sobbing noise.
Oh my gosh.
90% well, of the record.
You just let me know what chapter I need to start recording at for Hero of Ages, and
yeah. Yeah, I'll have to.
I mean, if there's someone out there,
yeah, we should set up a Google Meet today and to, like, see it like live.
Oh yeah. My gosh!
But for real, if there's someone out there listening to this, Sunny, and you're going through the Cosmere for, I don't know, the first time or the second time or whatever, reach out if you want like company to read these books, because I have found several people on the community that is willing to be there with you when you read. I have friends from like my home city, the friends that introduced me to the Cosmere, that are there for me when I read the books for the first time, and I do the same for them sometimes. And wow, it's absolutely wonderful. And we do that with each other on the Discord, even if we are not in the same like country or continent. So it's nice to have company, because the screaming feeling like, how could Brandon do this to me?
I remember reading the end of A Memory of Light, and Garnet just was like reading like simultaneously with me, like we were like at the same time. I was like, okay, I'm here, and so we started reading it together, and that end is so emotional, and like having like company, reading it was great.
Yeah, I had a friend staying awake all night when I finished Rhythm of War last year. It took me from half of part 4 till the end, it took me 16 hours in a row.
Oh gosh.
Wow.
And I mean, he was there for the last 6 or 7 hours, because I told him, okay, I have reached that part, and he was like, okay, I'm gonna stay here with you. So be it, if I have to work tomorrow, he said, I'm gonna be here for you. And it was necessary. So yeah, Hero of Ages, get ready for that.
Oh, because
it's
gonna
be a wild ride.
Yeah. So before we get too off topic,
is it the highlighted one?
Specifically, you want to talk
right
about
after
Chris, this episode.
Maker. Yes.
And I would love to hear your thoughts on it. I kind of skimmed the notes, but yeah.
So this was something that I remember before I read Stormlight. Everyone wanted to know who would win in a fight, Ben or Caliban. And there are many. And Brandon said it would depend, you know, and someone asked him, like, what, I guess, Knight Radiant level would Ben be? And he was like, oh yeah, there's a line in book 2 that just tells you which ideal that she swore if, like, she would level up. And I was like, what? And I didn't know anything about ideals, Knight Radiance, nothing. Because this is, like, 2019 I finally read Stormlight. When Oathbringer.
Yes.
Yeah, it was after Oathbringer. And so I was like, what? And I highlighted it, posted a picture, because it was crazy. There's a line that says, she could fight, she could kill, if it meant defending those who could not defend themselves. And that is the second ideal in the Knights of 80.
Yeah.
And so, because it's no question that Ven would be a Rinwana. People call her Ven-wana.
Oh, yeah, it's there.
And it's funny because in German, the W is a V, so it'd be Ven-wana. And I lost my mind doing this research in preparation for this episode, so I always heard about this, but I never looked. And by the end of this book, she could swear the fourth ideal. Kaladin just swore. Yeah,
it says here about his name. Up. No. Sorry.
Kaladin just swore the fourth ideal. Ven is on equal terms with him at the end of book two, if she openly says that she regrets releasing the power. Yeah. And the fourth ideal is accept that there will be those,
that there are those I cannot protect.
There's a note on that ideal that says a major part is forgiving oneself of previous failures. And that is like the entirety of her theme going forward. And so it blew my mind finding actual lines, because he didn't write Way of Kings for like another 5 years after these books.
Yeah, and like Way of Kings Prime didn't have like those ideals. The Knights Radiant as we know them in the canonical Way of Kings don't exist in Way of Kings Prime. And so that's completely different, so he couldn't have gotten it from Prime, but the lines are very, very similar.
Makes me wonder when he wrote all the ideals for every Knight Radiant.
Yeah, well, that also makes me wonder, like, was this Brandon's like amazing planning, which it by all means could be, or does he just really like writing this specific kind of character? He's like, that seems right.
He likes his broken characters.
Yeah, he likes broken protective people.
Yeah, definitely.
Makes you wonder if, what would happen if Dean could find a way to go to Rosher.
Oh yeah, could you be both a Knight Radiant and an Allomancer?
Yeah, I mean the timelines don't line up.
Like so many other things.
No, the timelines do not, but it would be nice to see her as a Windrunner.
Hoyt is a good example of having multiple magic with him, so it's possible, maybe. I mean, we haven't seen him swear any ideals yet. That would be cool, but...
Oh no, we have seen him swear ideals.
Well, the first ideal. It's like Life Before Death, Little One, in the Oathbringer epilogue. Oh. Bob's design.
Spoilers.
Oh yeah, okay. I totally forgot that.
Design is a total spoiler spread, by the way.
Oh.
Definitely Vinny's a Windrunner material. I got those references when I read this book for the first time too, but I was just like...
Yeah, because you'd already read.
Yeah, a little bit of... Yes, but what I was like unaware was how this be connected with the Stormlight Archive. I mean, unfortunately, I couldn't make any like theory or prediction because I was absolutely clueless, but I remember I said to myself, okay, pay attention to this, and I paid attention to that. Stuff happened after that, and that's it on the Hero of Ages.
I think we only have one major thing to talk about left, and that's the sound that's coming like, from the Well of Ascension, that like these resonance like of Vin feels, and since Rhythm of War has come out, Brandon has confirmed that those are the pure tones of Skadriel. Because we do get a lot of like the tones and the rhythms and all that in Rhythm of War.
Yeah.
Hence the name. And so people have asked him, is what been heard at, like at the Well of Ascension, which is the same one Alendi hears, the journal entries in Final Empire, like are those the pure tones of Skadriel? And Brandon has said it is.
That's insane because wow, I mean, this book was written, like, 13 years ago? Wow, oh my god, I didn't connect this when I read Rhythm of War. I didn't. And then when people started to talk about that, I was like, yes, I love that connection.
Yeah, that is amazing.
What's funny is I had a theory on it.
Oh, did you?
Oh yeah, you told me!
Sure.
You called this before Shadcast.
Yeah, because I was reading, because I think y'all's podcast has just started with Final Empire, or we were talking, I was in the Discord, and I remember I was, like, driving to work one day, and I, you know, was thinking about, you know, Rhythm of War. I was emotionally destroyed after reading that, especially after the fourth ideal. That and the End of Hero Ages are the only times where I was teary-eyed ever in the cosmos. Oh. And I was just thinking about it, and that was one thing that always popped up, where I was like, what is that thing she hears? I thought all the books. I just assumed it was the Well, and I just kind of stopped thinking about it.
Which it technically is.
But I just had no idea it was like a tone thing. because Rhythm of War wasn't out. And so finally one day I had, yeah, and I was driving and I had that theory. I was like, what if that was a tone? And I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, that could very well be the tone for Scadrial. And then it was like a week later, Shotcast did the review and they were like, oh yeah, that was the tone. I was like, So there were two things I noticed in Rhythm of War that I felt really proud of. The other one I can't talk about.
yeah.
I mean, we have been sharing stuff about Rhythm of War, but we could get easily off topic with that book.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So many stuff happened. Yeah. But the fact that those beats were a pure tone of Skadrial opens so many possibilities with, like, the listener or singer people. Would they be able to, like, locate a perpendicularity with their listening to the tones thing? I don't know if that's... I mean, I don't know. I have been rereading Rhythm of War, and it is said that the humans could hear the tones. And, well, we see Navani doing some weird arcane stuff with the tones, and it appears that people could hear them even if they are not a Prashendi. But if you are a Prashendi and you go to a different planet, could you hear, like, the beating coming from the Well of Ascension? Could you locate... Could you be like a radar for perpendicularities in any planet at all?
Could you
listen to the different allomancies?
I do think that it's related to like the pulses that the allomancers developed, like the same as like the seekers use, like the ones that Marsh describes, like when he's teaching Vin about bronze. That's bronze, I think. And like, Brandon has it, it's like related, like somehow. And I do think, with all these revelations we got in Rhythm of War, that, like, it could very well be, like, versions of the pure tones of Gadriel, only that attuned, like, to each metal, because, like, see, like, if they're experienced enough, they can know what metal the other person is burning. And so, like, I do think this is related.
Yeah, and could you, if you are burning bronze,
there's a
you listen to the pure tones of a different planet? I think you should be able
to. Ooh. Interesting.
I'm wondering if someone with perfect pitch can.
Yeah, wait a second.
That would make sense.
I know they are wobs about this. Let me find them.
Maybe.
Because we know Hoyt has it, right?
Okay, so then that's leading me to the question of, like, if you can hear it and if you can recreate it, can you then use that power? Because, like, I know with Rhythm of War, Navani was trying to get the right tone so that she could use the right Stormlight and, like, move it.
Yeah.
So then if you could hear and recreate the sound of, like, steel pushing or iron pushing, would you then be able to do that? Like, would that still give you the same investiture?
I don't know. That seems broken, but we have evidence that if you can discern the different tones with your ear, you can influence the investiture. I mean, the Thylan people use the sounds, the different tones, to move Stormlight from one device to another with Fabrials. Navani uses her own voice and Rebonials to move the and create and mix the lights. So she's basically manipulating the motion of investitures. So I don't know. I mean,
ask me, like, if you didn't want to, or if you weren't able to use that god metal that would make you into a Mistborn, and like, if you were, I guess I'm using Hoyt here because I'm trying to think of someone that would like have like perfect pitch or something where they could actually hear and possibly recreate it. And if you used like Stormlight investiture, would you then be able to still do the same things as Mistborn?
I mean, it's not the same to move the Stormlight as to use it to fuel like the magical power. It's not the same to burn Stormlight to heal yourself, for example, as to move it from one favor from another one. So, I think there's a distinction, an important distinction there, but I want to be careful with the Hero of Ages investiture moving revelations. So,
all right.
These are all very good starting points for our spoilers episode of the Hero of Ages.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Because there's some moving of investiture. I mean, we have moving of investiture here when Din swims into the nice white pool of the Well of Ascension, but we will have some more explicit and explained effects on the following book. Something important to mention is that the pure tones of a planet in the Cosmere are connected to a shard, apparently. I don't want to, like, put my signature into this because it's still very freshly released and there's so much more that Brandon could write and there's so much that we don't know, but apparently the pure tones are, like, assigned to each of the shards in the planets. So, I don't know, my final conclusion is that it's absolutely fun and entertaining to make different theories, but Brandon always ends up creating something completely unexpected, but at the same time that was hiding in plain sight, yes, and when you know it, you're like, oh, it was so evident, it was so obvious. But honestly, this thing, I think it's like a very juicy material for the Cosmere. The thing with the tones, the thing with Allomancy, with the bronze, the pulses, and everything we learn on Rhythm of War. And I just think it's absolutely amazing, the connections.
Yeah.
It's like a spider web.
Yes.
It's like the thing that you are like, I don't know how to say this in English, that you are tejiendo. Oh, please help me, Jay.
Knitting.
Ilana is doing knitting. Oh.
Yeah.
It was knitting, I knew that word, but I forgot it for a second. But yeah, it's like the knitting that Ilana is doing right now that you can probably see if you're listening to this episode, but she's knitting in a cute way there, and that just reminds me to the Cosmere with everything being connected. So yeah.
Everything is connected, yeah. I think that we got through like all our like main points. Really, all we've been doing in this episode is dancing around heroes. Major spoilers because we can't
pretty
say
much
anything related to that because Alana hasn't read Hero of Ages, but there are so
there,
many of these things
I'm kidding
so much clearer in Hero of Ages and Secret History.
Yeah,
so
I want to clarify something important. I mean, we're doing this one episode with spoilers for the Cosmere and with one episode with no spoilers for the Cosmere before that. But Mistborn is kind of hard because the publication order was not like linear, it was mixed up with the other books and the connections, they get all together, and it's very hard to speak about the Cosmere without addressing the important Cosmere stuff on the Hero of Ages. But we're kind of doing this like in order to have Ilana's reaction as she's first time reading everything.
Yeah, well, related to Mistborn.
Yeah, reading Mistborn.
Yeah, it's a challenge, but it's worth it.
Yeah, so I think that pretty much covers everything that we had to say.
Yeah, you can follow us and contact us through all our social media. The links will be in the show notes. They're too long to mention right now. Join the Discord, which is really fun. We have all types of theories and discussions, even about things that aren't like Brandon books, like, you know, like a general fantasy channel, and that's always interesting, and you get a lot of recommendations through there. And email us at worldtopishpodcast@gmail.com and DM us, and we'll get you a link to the Discord. It's also on our Insta bio. You can find me on the 17th Shard forums under the profile Cheyenne Sedai. Yeah, we'd love for you to tell us your feedback, ask us your questions, and really, we really want to hear all your thoughts. Having a listener question this time was really fun. So thank you, Starcast, on the Legendary and Discord for submitting that. And let us know what you think of the show and what your favorite moments from the Cosmere have been. Tell us your theories you got regarding what Brandon has got in his head when it comes to the Cosmere. We know he just, well, at the time of recording this, he just started writing Wax and Wayne 4. For that, I have no theories for what's happening in Wax and Wayne 4. But we'd love to hear if you have any. And if you've enjoyed the show, we'd love it if you would give it the 5-star rating wherever you listen to or on iTunes. Because rating the show really helps listeners find us and like building the community around the show. And make sure to share the podcast with other Brandon Sanderson fans you know and anyone you want to introduce to the series. We know how hard it can be to try and explain this to somebody without overwhelming them. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Christian, for coming on. We know it is hard to keep spoilers from Hero of Ages away from this episode.
To our listeners out there, if you feel like sharing your journey through the Cosmere with us, it would be amazing. It will be our honor, and you can even end up participating of this podcast as one of our guests, because we love having more people from the community participate and stuff. And yeah, it's really nice to be able to share this wonderful.
Yeah, I think we're having Evie also from the Discord on for the Hero of Ages episode, which is gonna be really fun.
Yeah. Oh, and I just wanted to remind everyone that now we have a subreddit for our podcast. So if you don't want to join the Discord, but you still want to engage, come check out our subreddit. Yes. It's really kind of slow right now, but we'd love to see more people and hear from you. So yeah.
Thanks for listening. And remember, journey before destination.
Bye.